And welcome back to another episode of the Black Watch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain. With me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing tonight, Kyle?
Pretty good. Back to normal schedule. I'm excited, but it means we have like three pieces of news to talk about, whereas last episode we had like 15. It took a half an hour, so yeah. We'll see.
Nice quick news tonight.
Yeah.
But as always, we kind of start off with what we did this past week. Since the last time we talked, it was literally like three and Saturday. A half days ago. Anything interesting in the last 3 days?
Not really. I've been off since Saturday as well. So I've got like a 4 day weekend, which is pretty cool. And I'm going back to work tomorrow and I'm not excited for it.
Yes, I went back yesterday after a 4 day weekend and I hated it. But yeah, that's basically all that I've done. Played a little bit of Dauntless and went back to work. So, quick and easy recap of what we've done. Let's get down into the news. No iTunes reviews, no new Twitch followers. I did upload the newest episode, episode number 69. Yeah. To the YouTube channel. Apparently there were not enough 69 jokes in our last episode, so I kind of got a little bit of flack for
that.
Get
them in now.
So get them in now. Yeah. But with the new settings that I'm running, I'm able to actually record decent video. So I'm going to start putting the episodes back up on YouTube. Maybe we can get some YouTube follows over there. But let's get down into the news. This week's news is brought to you by Thugly. If you want to be a sponsor of our news, you can head over to the Patreon, become a Patreon at patreon.com/blackwatchreport. Starting at the $2 level, you're able to become the sponsor for the news. So Kyle, take us away.
All right, so starting off, it was in the little tidbit that's on Twitter, but as well, we now have official word. I think we heard a rumor from Goopy Noopy that yep. Spectral was going to join Grunto, and it seemed very reasonable, but now we officially know for sure. And so that's kind of confirmed in here. I think he's going to be moving over to NA pretty soon, but he is absolutely a stunning, phenomenal player that is going to really, really give Atlanta Academy a run for that top spot now, I think. Because he was a great Zarya, but he was an even better DPS. And now that most of the GOAT's locks are kind of been lifted on people, these insane DPSs that we've seen before are now kind of coming back and shining. And he was stunning at DPS, even in the midst of GOATs. So I think this is going to be really a huge, huge upgrade for this team, because we knew that Harblue was like a fine player, but he was not a main DPS player. He was an off tank player. He played a lot of Zarya, played a lot of Roadhog, and so now that they have just a lights out DPS player, this team is going to go off. And I think there was also mentioned somewhere, either in his announcement or one of the other announcements, that Gauntlet would be with 2-2-2 lock on. So if Grunto makes it, which at this point it's looking pretty likely, they would be playing under 2-2-2 lock, which would mean that it's probably better that they have a DPS player instead of an off tank player.
I do remember seeing that tweet. I can't remember where I saw it, who it was from, but there definitely was something about Gauntlet being on the 2-2-2 lock. But moving us along, Damon, formerly from NRG and the Shanghai Dragons, has found a new team to play for. He's going to be joining Meta Athena. I don't know, did it say exactly what he was going to be doing on Meta Athena?
I mean, he started last time. I believe he started... he played on Blank? What? When was that a thing? Okay, interesting. I didn't know that. Damon played on Blank Esports for 2 months. Missed that.
I mean, it has him listed as a DPS, so.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he played their most recent game versus whoever they played against.
Oh, yeah, Blank Esports as of 6/13/2019. So just last month, he was playing for Blank. Interesting. Yeah, I haven't even thought to look into him since the move to the Shanghai Dragons and everything.
Oh, that makes sense. So Meta Athena had been doing a 3 DPS roster with their current players. So they just picked him up to be the third DPS and bench Schubel.
Okay.
So interesting. Cool, cool. And then lastly, here we've got iRemix officially parting ways with Revival. Revival was a team that we thought would actually do really well, and they did okay until Mangachu got poached, and now they're really just not looking so hot.
Yep.
So now we've got Boger 47 in, just Boger, I guess. I don't remember what team this guy has played on before. I know very little about him, actually. Let's see if we can find some details on this guy. Previously on second gen, and then a bunch of nobody teams.
I don't even remember him on second gen.
He played for 2 months, from February to April. Then he played on Nocturnal Esports for a little while and then got picked up. So that is an interesting pickup. Because like before that, he has played on basically nobody teams since 2017. So really just kind of a bit of a out of nowhere pickup. But
I mean, he played for the Falafel Avengers
partners. That's true. Yep, that's true. And Butterfly Sunshine Boys.
Tier 2 team names, man. You can't beat them.
Tier 3. Tier 3, right?
Yeah.
Tier 3, tier 4, maybe? I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, those are the best names.
Yes.
But that'll be it on news, I guess. Yep. Like I said, a very short news week.
We had 3 days to scrape together some news. Not a whole lot came up. So we're going to take a quick step away for a word from our sponsor. Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase. And that brings us into the quick play. So we've got a bunch of matches to just go over the score lines. So Kyle, why don't you take away the West?
All right, starting with the best of the West, we've got Montreal Rebellion taking the 3-1 victory over Second Wind. We've got Envy taking the 4-0 over Revival. I need to pull up. I just realized that I didn't have up our
predictions.
I need to find those because I need to figure out who was wrong and who was right on these. All right. Let's see what we got here. So on the first match, it was... Come on. There we go. West. I had... Oh, we both had Second Wind. Oopsies.
It's a big whoops.
Okay, let's just ignore that one. Envy versus Revival. Did we both have Envy? Yes, 4-0. Both of us 4-0. Yeah.
That was an easy one.
Yeah. Tea Party versus Wave Check. So that was 3-2 in favor of Tea Party. And then we predicted 3-1 in favor of Tea Party. So pretty close on that one. Lastly, wrapping it up on the West, we've got XL2 taking the 2-1 victory over Triumph. And we predicted XL2 I predicted a 3-1, you predicted a 3-2. So pretty close.
Pretty close. That tie kind of, messed up the scoreline there for us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So.
We don't have predictions, do we? No, we don't. We didn't do predictions for these, apparently.
Face 2 Bermuda? Those might have been... Oh, we're running.
We got a weird with the weird day. Yeah, we with ended the weird week. Spot, so.
Yeah, that is right.
So whatever. We'll just say we got all right.
Yeah, we totally got these right. Phase 2 versus Bermuda for our first matchup against in the East. Phase 2 takes this 3-1. Kind of be expected. Bermuda hasn't been looking too hot. Then we've got Grunto going up against the Gladiators Legion. Grunto takes this 3-1 over the Legion. That's slightly surprising for me. I would have expected the Legion to be able to handle a, Trials team, but not looking so hot. Then we got the Sky Foxes going up against the Uprising Academy. Uprising Academy take this 3-1. That's another one I probably would have flipped.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, looking at just the standings, Sky Foxes was 2-0 and Uprising was 0-2. Like, looking at just their standings alone, you would have predicted that, but
yep. Weird. It's a weird week for the East, apparently.
Definitely.
Except for this next one, because I would have 100% chose this. Yep. Exactly the score line. Atlanta Academy going up against Square One. Atlanta Academy take it 4-0. Looking hot going through this season. Kind of be expected, you know, Envy and Atlanta on top of their respective regions.
Definitely. So then wrapping it up here into EU, we got Korea afterwards, but in EU we have HSL taking the 3-1 victory over Samsung Morning Stars. Then we've got Clockwork Vendetta taking the 4-0 over Samsung, or not Samsung, ooh, Shoes Money Crew EU. And then we've got British Hurricane taking the 3-0 victory over Angry Titans. And then finally, we've got Giganti taking the 4-0 over Young and Beautiful.
Which takes us down into Korea. So we're going to start off with, when are these first matches?
These first two are last week's ones that we didn't talk about, I believe. That they were like after the end of last episode. We didn't talk about them last episode. At least I think so. So this would be the 2nd and 3rd of July.
The 2nd. Okay, so from July 2nd, we see GC Busan Wave going up against Runaway. And this was the big shocker coming out of Korea. GC Busan beating Runaway 3-1. And then Fusion University get their first official contenders win over in Korea. That's against WGS. They take that 3-2. So far, nothing but fives for the Fusion. Nothing changing whatsoever. July 3rd, we've got Meta Athena going up against Gen G. Gen G takes this 3-2. Our second matchup of the 3rd is O2 Blast against Element Mystic. And O2 Blast beating out Element Mystic 3-1 here. Not going to lie, slightly surprised at that one. I kind of figured Element Mystic was going to take that. And then the matches that have happened so far this week from earlier this morning, we see GC Busan Wave beating Meta Athena 3-2, and then the Fusion University falling to O2 Blast 3-2 in what is a very, very interesting matchup we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yep, and then to kind of check in to see where these teams are at, we're going to go ahead and cover some standings here. So looking at this, this is an interesting one because we are in week 4, or just finished week 4 for NA West, and Team Envy has already locked in their playoff spot with a 4-0 match record and a 16-0 map record. Montreal Rebellion is behind them with a 3-1, as well as XL2. Triumph and Tea Party are below them with 2-2. And then Second Wind currently in place to take that final spot with a 1-3, while Revival and Wave Check are in fear of relegation right now with a 1-3 on Revival and a 0-4 on Wave Check.
Not going to lie, still really shocked about the Revival. I know they had a big shakeup with their roster, but man, seeing them below Tea Party is kind of crazy to me. So moving over to NA East standings. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday the 10th, they'll be playing their 4th matchup. So right now we have no teams in the East locked in, but that could change tomorrow. We see the Atlanta Academy sitting atop of the pack with 3-0 with a plus 12 map differential. And then Grunto Esports is also currently 3-0. But they have a plus 8 map differential. So right now, Atlanta and Envy are completely perfect. Neither one of them have lost any maps. Rounding out the top of the standings for the East, we've got the Gladiators Legion and the Sky Foxes both sitting at 2-1 records with a plus 2 map differential. And then we get into the minus map differentials here. We've got Phase 2 and Uprising Academy both sitting at 1-2 with negative 4 map differentials. And then, bottom of the barrel, Bermuda and Square 1. Surprisingly enough, Square 1. That's kind of a shock to me there. Both of them are at 0-3. Bermuda's got a negative 6, and Square 1 has a negative 10 map differential. Square 1 is going to have a huge turnaround if they want to get that last spot before they get relegated back down into trials.
Yep. And then moving into EU, we've got Giganti at the top, but not perfect or not even anywhere close to perfect. We've got Giganti, Clockwork Vendetta, and HSL all at the 3-1. But Giganti are at +7, Clockwork's at +5, and HSL is at +3 on map differential. British Hurricane and Young and Beautiful are at the 2-2 spot here. Both pretty close. British Hurricane have a positive +2, and Young and Beautiful have a -1. So they barely won their wins and very much lost their losses. Angry Titans sitting at the 1-3 at a -4 differential. Rough season for them so far. And then at the bottom spot, as well as the 1-3s, Samsung Morningstars and Choose Money Crew. So a bit rough for Angry Titans, but they did lose like all of their good players. So
yep.
What are you going to do?
And so far, they're the only region that the bottom doesn't have a O and whatever team. Every team in EU has a win. So that's moving weird. Us over into Korea, sitting at the top, we've got O2 Blast 3-0 with a +5. Now, a couple of these are going to be a little bit weird because some played this morning, some will play tomorrow morning. So Gen G sitting in the second spot here with a 2-0 with a +3. GC Busan Wave is coming in at the top of the play-in behind the two. They get the bye, basically being in the first and second spot. GC Busan Wave sitting at 2-1 with a +1 map differential. Surprising right here. This is where it gets weird. Element Mystic sitting at 1-1 with a +2 map differential. Runaway 1-1 with a -1 map differential. That's completely like blows my mind right there. And then we've got the Fusion University rounding out the playoff pack here with a 1-2 with a -1 map differential. And the two that are in fear of relegation, we've got WGS with an 0-2 currently, and then Meta Athena 0-3. They are not having a good season. They just kind of scraped in from trials, if I'm not mistaken.
That is true, yeah.
And it's not looking good in contenders form.
So we didn't really talk too much about this. We'll talk about the Fusion and O2 Blast game in a minute. But first, let's real quick in the main discussion cover this Montreal second wind game, because this was when we knew that Montreal just picked up a new DPS duo. And now we got to see what they're doing. What are their matches looking like? How are they playing? So with Montreal, they are an interesting team.
Yes.
Because they have two very, very talented DPS players, but yet it didn't seem like they were doing a ton of the carrying or the lifting a lot of the weight here. So with Mistakes, this is his first official match since Boston Uprising at the end of Overwatch League 2019 season. So it's been almost a year since we've seen anything from him. And it kind of shows. His Tracer is still just naturally incredible. He's clearly just kept playing that. But his Sombra definitely had some Yang Zhao Long style one to no man EMPs. His Widow is pretty good as well. But I think that overall, he just didn't quite look to be 100% meshed yet or comfortable yet or back up to that same level, because, and it also could be because he didn't have quite the same players around him enabling him, because when he was on Boston, he was popping off because he had Gamsu just creating perfect amounts of space for him. Now he doesn't really have that. He's got Jay Caro, who is probably pretty good, but it's no Gamsu, so you'll do not as good, I think, on those picks. And then Vizility is an interesting one as well. His Pharah play, let me see if I can figure out what's going on here. His Pharah play was really, really cool. But I think, no, yeah, it was the Hanzo as well. It was really, really solid. I think he was definitely the one that stood out a lot here. And then, it was Smex I was thinking of. play the Junkrat here, which is interesting because you really don't see your off tank player going to a DPS pick that's not Sombra. I would have kind of liked to see what would happen if they gave Smeks the Sombra and let Mistakes play someone like a Junkrat or something along those lines, if maybe he's more comfortable on that because the Sombra wasn't great. But the Junkrat play from Smeks was actually really, really impressive, as well as we knew he was a good D.Va beforehand. So that was kind of just a, you know, to be expected. And then you have a note here for Jakara.
Just his cooldown management. There was a moment, I believe it was on Numbani. He ended up getting down to like 19 health, but between using his jumps and timing his bubbles, he was able to get in and out just constantly. His cooldown management was absolutely insane. He had the heals coming in, but he floated on that line of death and just extending the time just constantly. Really nice pickup. I liked watching him on Montreal. Like you said, Mistakes looked phenomenal. I'm really excited to see what Montreal does for the rest of the season here.
Yeah, I think Jakara is definitely a player that I would love to kind of keep an eye on, because he definitely has shown really good potential, but we haven't quite seen them face off against like the best of the best teams just yet. So who have they played actually? Let's find out. They have played Second Wind, Tea Party, and Triumph and Wave Check. So they have yet to play Revival, XL2, or Envy. Their
those
next
are two pretty big ones.
XL2, and then their final matches against Envy. So I think that they very well could be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see how Jakara does kind of stack up against, you know, Lulzsh and players of that caliber. Yeah. So I think that'll be the true test of his ability, but definitely a player to watch so far. Second Wind, though, this is a weird team because, like, just eye test alone, it looked like they should have won. Because the entire time, Montreal had to either focus on suppressing Frill on the Widowmaker or getting shot by Frill on the Widowmaker and killed by Frill on the Widowmaker. And I think that it was just like he got so many opening picks, but in the fights where it was like a close team fight, it seemed like Montreal just were able to, you know, squeak out the win a little bit better and finish out the team fights. And there's a couple of kind of big mistake coming out of Second Wind that prompted this 3-1 loss. Well, you got a note here too, as well.
Something like the difference between his Widow and Mistakes' Widow on Paris, for example. Mistakes was playing kind of a grounded sight lines, you know, locking down an angle, then rotating after he, you know, got a pick from that angle. But Frill was going like super aggressive with his grapple hook. Right at the start of their defense, he grapples up and takes out Tensa with a smooth as silk, just pop. Soon as the grapple comes back online, back up in the air, and I forget who the second one was, but it was two quick kills. Burnt a lot of time off of the time bank for Montreal. Unfortunately, once they got a sight line on him, Mistakes was able to take him out. But man, Frill was just looking absolutely bonkers on Widow, especially on Paris. A thing to watch.
I think for me, the one map was on Shrine. He was just sitting on top of that little pedestal in the back and was just getting two kills back and forth. And it was until like he basically forced Montreal to have to counter him and focus most of their resources on countering him, or else he would just win Second Wind the fights and made it not very easy. I think there were just some other little bits here and there. I think when he couldn't play Widow, there were certain times when he had to go back on to, don't believe he was the Zarya player. Or no, he was the Zarya player. I think when he had to go back onto Zarya, it just was not the same level of impact. And that's where Montreal were able to win the fights. It's kind of when they forced the 3-3. But definitely, like, if you can just keep playing him on Widow as much as possible, you will win a lot of fights on that. I think it's just with the team coordination on the less individually skilled fights here is where you really have to get it back together if you're second wind. And then Exarath had himself kind of a heck of a game here with so many great sleep darts.
Yep.
But again, like, it, he just had really stand-up performances, but it just wasn't quite enough, which is really frustrating, I would imagine, as second wind. Like, everyone on this team played out of their mind, or, you know, played incredibly, at least. There were just little, and it was only like the mistakes when it counted that really ever were made, because the rest of the play was just really, really solid. And then lastly, for second wind here, Azir really had a lot of clutch EMPs as well. So the theme here is everyone on this team played very well at their own individual roles, doing what they needed to do. It just wasn't at the exact right times. And it just kind of was unlucky, I guess, or just, you know.
Well, it was like,
go ahead.
I was going to say, while it was a scoreline of 4-0, like, second
was
wind.
It 4? I thought it was a 3-1.
I'm sorry, 3-1. While it was a 3-1, second wind played absolutely phenomenal. Like, this was a great match.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
nothing to like, shy away from on second wind. Like, everybody was just phenomenal playing.
But then let's go into this match here. This is one I really wanted to, and we watched this one both this morning, because it came out at what, four or 5 o'clock in the morning.
So frustrated.
So this was the 3-2 loss of Fusion University to O2 Blast, and O2 Blast is the top team right now. Like, they are clearly the best, but this seemed absolutely so winnable. For Fusion,
this should have been,
I think, the frustrating part.
This should have been a 3-1 Fusion University win. 100%.
And what it mainly came down to was Fusion were always able to get good picks. They were able to utilize the barrage from Nice and get 2, utilize a bomb from Bernard and get 2, be it a big boop, a big anti-nade, anything. They were able to get like 1, 2, 3 down even. And then O2 Blast, just with the never say die mentality, just kept initiating the fights, kept fighting, and things kind of just fell apart. There was a time on Numbani first when they were about to full hold, and I literally screamed, "What are you doing?
Overtime.
Are you kidding me?" In overtime, they had like the most flawless defensive hold that I've seen in a long time. And it was just absolutely heart-wrenching to see this just kind of fall apart. Like, on the cleanup fight, like, okay, they got 1, they got 2, they just couldn't really figure out who they needed to kill next of the final respawns, and they were able to just let them go, and it was so frustrating.
And then we see almost the exact same thing happen on Rialto, which loses them Rialto. Talking about Nepal for a second. Not Nepal. Ilios.
Ilios.
You just... How do you take the point and then you defend the point, but in the process of you defending said point, you let the other team take it without, like, actually defending it? Like, it was... Three times... They just let them have the point in the middle of the fight because they wouldn't fight on the point. They fought away from the point.
With Lighthouse, Lighthouse is interesting because they were playing a DPS comp and they didn't really have that much point presence, but still, like, they didn't pressure them enough in the open, which is where that team comp needs to find value, is in that open fight. Because once the team moves into the point, it is really hard to retake with that comp, it seems like. So that was kind of the weird thing, is to just like let them get in the first place was not what you needed to do. And especially with neither Bernard nor Beast Halo able to really contest without getting completely destroyed, like you need to get the picks in the open ground or you will get the points stolen from underneath you. So that was, yeah, that was really rough to see. Some high notes here. Snillo, absolutely stellar play on the Widowmaker when it came down to it. We just know he's a great hit scan player, a fantastic tracer. I think he played a little bit of Somber here and there and was pretty good. Their swap ups are interesting as Fusion University. They will occasionally run Bernard on the Sombra with Nice on the Pharah. Sometimes they'll run Bernard on the Pharah with you're showing the full screen. There you go. You got I was just wondering what the heck you're doing on the feed.
Trying to fix your camera so bad. I don't know what happened.
Who's to say? What else am I saying? Yeah, so they switch up and from the Sombra and the Pharah goes between Bernard and Nice all the time. Sometimes Snillo will play the Sombra. I'm not going to say that they need to fix that because it seems to clearly work for them. That wasn't any of the issues here. I think we saw Nice playing some D.Va at some points because Bernard was still on the Sombra. And so there's things like that which you got to kind of be flexible if you're playing these three DPS and they have to switch to goats or 3-2-1 at least.
Yep.
Interesting. We did see Beast Halo in here. I don't believe he played in the first two matches. Definitely didn't play in the first one. And the Reinhardt was a bit of an issue for him because we know that Kaiser is a phenomenal Reinhardt. And it seems like in just the straight Ryan v. Ryan battle with like trying to land good shatters and beat him on the mind games, it didn't really work in his favor. But Winston on Numbani was absolutely a different story. I think that was really where Beast Halo shined and showed up his opposing main tank.
Definitely. And speaking of Numbani, there was a moment where Fusion University was playing super aggro on their defense.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like you said, they like had a full hold. I mean, I'm talking they get a team wipe, and then they advance to above the bus, and then they pop EMP, they pop Barrage, and they just destroy O2 as they're coming back in and reset. So there's a moment where Beast Halo actually goes after Kaiser, pops the Primal Rage, juggles him, throws him off of the edge. Kaiser jumps back up. Beast Halo is able to juggle him back off of the ledge. And as Kaiser's falling, he tries to get his Primal off that he just got and dies right as he like hits his Primal. So he loses his Primal, gets staggered like crazy, and just Beast Halo has a phenomenal clip to just pull and throw on a highlight reel because it was mind-blowing how well he juggled another Winston.
And with that, this was mentioned on the cast, which I really do appreciate them like bringing this to light, is that because of that, there's 1,000 HP worth of damage that Beast Halo got the game credit for.
And got, oh yeah.
And so his Primal was basically just recharged almost instantly because he got the kill credit for pushing
Kaiser off
the edge with 1,000 HP.
Oh my god.
So that was, and he just like had Primal again ready to go. And so it was just like,
I was wondering how he ended that with another Primal.
I don't think that Beast Halo intended that last little bit to happen. That was kind of just like a cherry on top of the situation. But that must have felt really good to like Primal, get a huge pick, and then also have Primal again for the next fight.
Yes.
For Nice, definitely, this was not his best game. Specifically, there was the one moment on Paris defense where he was on Sombra and got picked in the streets area between the point and the attacker's spawn. He was doing what Sombras are supposed to do. You go up, distract a little bit, get some damage, build that EMP. He did that, and then he got killed. And then O2 Blast just run onto point. Win the 5v6. Bummer. Now you gotta go fight second just because one player on your team had a slight mispositioning or a slight misplay that just lost you the point. But on the opposite side, Bernard, when it came to his far play on those attacks, both times he was able to pick off Flora on the D.Va and demech her and then kill her or knock her off with the concussion. Opened up the attack both times on point A for Fusion University just based off of his great far play. And that was something that we've seen quite a lot of from him, and it's really nice to see. Again, basically every time we're going to talk about Bernard, we have to talk about like why has no team picked him up yet. Maybe his buyout's really big, but like bare hands, my friend, if you're listening, I bet Gargrel is great. You know, I bet he's a great player. I bet you're thinking, oh, this is a great pickup. Like, oh, no one knows who this is. This guy's probably gonna be really good. But come on, dude. Bernard, really gonna let him go? Unless, and there's no way to know, and there's no way for him to ever tell me or for anyone else to tell me, like, if Bernard has, like, the dumbest, highest buyout ever. But, like, why is this guy just continuing to just play at the top of his team, at the top of any region he plays at,
yep,
on D.Va, on Zarya when he has to, on Pharah, on Sombra, just top of the team, top of the league picks on all these different heroes. Just it's frustrating. If any team is reshuffling their roster next year at the end of the season and doesn't pick up Bernard, I'm gonna be mad and I'm gonna not root for the team anymore.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane that he's just still sitting on. I mean, granted, it's one of the best academy teams in the world, but yeah, like, he's old enough to join the league and nobody's mm-hmm. paying him. It blows my yep. mind.
So, O2 Blast here. I don't think this was as much Fusion losing as it was O2 Blast winning. Obviously, except, of course, for the nice pick on Paris. That was just a loss. But what O2 Blast do is they are kind of the example of this. What I noticed, I think it was Apex Season 3 or 4, I noticed, like, wow, like, whereas in NA Overwatch or EU Overwatch, once you get a couple of picks, you usually can kind of just, like, okay, we'll reset, or maybe we'll fight, die on point, or whatever. That's not, like, the style that a lot of these Korean teams play. They play this really scrappy, chaotic way where they just, like, they see the opportunity where no one else does, and they say, okay, well, we're down two, but these people are kind of low. Let's keep pressuring. Let's play like coordinated and see if we can pull it back in our favor, not just die on point or retreat. And it really seems to work in the favor of O2 Blast here. They really just, after losing two to like big plays from the opposite team, they just continue to scrape it back from the jaws of death and win fights that they absolutely shouldn't have. Case in point, Numbani first attack. They had no business winning that. That was in the bag for Fusion, except apparently it wasn't. And just great play from, you know, all of the survivors on this team allowed them to push, and not only that, but like do it like three more times when it was like overtime, you need to win this fight or else you're gonna get held here. They continue to do it. So just absolutely incredible play from this team. Makes sense why they're at the first place.
And then kind of tied into that scrappiness, their focus is absolutely insane. Like there was moments where Beast Halo could literally do nothing because all six members of O2 Blast were on him. Rialto, he's trying to jump off of the ledge onto the payload right like after the first bridge, that first building that you can go into. He gets booped back up onto the ledge like three times. Like, he gets a Lucio boop, he gets chain whipped, and then there was something else that threw him back up there. But it took him forever to try to jump off. And then as soon as he lands on the ground, it was like a swarm of bees just jumped on him. And then he was deleted. And we saw it through every map constantly. And then they would just go from target to target as one group. And even like you said, if they are down two, those four people would focus down one. So now it's a 4v5. Then they would focus down another one. And now it's a 4v4. And their respawns are coming back in, which give them the numbers. I think Fusion University isn't really used to a playstyle like that. Typically, a team goes down two. The other team tries to disengage or just die. It kind of looked like Fusion was kind of letting off of the gas a little. And O2 was stepping on the gas. Yeah, between their focus and just their willingness to continue a fight, man, O2's scary right now.
I think the other thing, too, is it's usually Fusion who are the ones to play that, like, Korean Never Say Die style. Like, they're the ones who are like, why did Fusion University, how are they able to bring that back? And in this case, like, the tables have turned on them, and they don't quite know how to deal with that, because they were just the ones. I think, like, this is very much going to make Fusion a better team, because they are playing against clearly a higher caliber of team in all of these different teams, in Runaway, in O2 Blast, and then eventually when they play Element Mystic at the end of the season. They are going to be so strong. It's going to be ridiculous when they come out the end of this. And one of the things, too, I need to give credit to Flora, who Flora had himself a heck of a game here. There's a couple, I think the four players we're going to be talking about here all were just lights out incredible. And that was not even to say that the two players we aren't going to talk about weren't really good. It's just that Flora's EMPs into those losing fights were what won them so many different, you know, fights here and there. When he had to play the Hanzo on Nepal Village, there was the Mei that was hiding around the corner, and he just had the game knowledge to just know that there was going to be the Mei hiding around the corner, shoot the Sonic there, line her up, and then force out the retreat from them. Just incredible play from Flora so far.
And then when he's using his dragons, just his zoning dragons were even perfect. Splitting the team into two sides, which then gave O2 the ability to get that focus in. You know, pick a side, pick a target, delete said target. Just there, I don't think Flora at any moment had a bad series in this. Like, you know, even in the maps that they lost, Flora was still, you know, performing at 100% easily.
Yep, and then we'll talk about Kaiser here. He had a really good Winston play, specifically on Ilios. I remember seeing quite a lot of great play from him. His Reinhardt was also really, really solid, minus the unfortunate happenstance of Numbani. Just in that one play that we talked about already, he really had himself a heck of a game, and you've got a play here to talk about that really kind of exemplifies his... able to, like, he's kind of one of the main clutch parts of this.
So I mentioned it earlier, their just willingness to not give up. Goes into extra rounds on Rialto. O2 Blast push the payload to just past the bridge after the first point, and Fusion University's attack. They're pushing, the payload is literally just about to touch the golden box. Fusion University kills everybody except for, I believe it was Pelican. They're chasing down Pelican. They come back. They're pushing the payload. It's so close. It's almost there. All of O2 Blast come barreling through the top of the hotel, jump down onto the payload. Kaiser hits the payload, bounces off of the payload, hammers down, hits five people.
Yeah.
Just that quick. Deletes everyone. Happens in overtime. O2 Blast win. There is, like, one Lucio boop would have gotten the payload in. One, like, just anything. But O2 just fearlessly dove on there, and Kaiser, without hesitating, drops a hammer because he doesn't see a shield and just cleans house. Phenomenal play.
And then last two players to talk about here are Mandu on the Lucio with just phenomenal Lucio play around EMPs. Like, that's kind of what I've seen as the main thing you need to do as Lucio in these matches is don't get caught in EMPs and hit good beats. Like, first and foremost, I obviously very clear there's much more to it than that, but that's kind of like the bread and butter of Lucio's in this somber meta. And he constantly would just never get hit in. I'm like, if he died in one, it's because he didn't have beat and the team is like, okay, we're just going to bait out EMP and die to it. Cool. And then we'll hit the next fight. In that case, yeah, he did die. But like, anytime that it was EMP up and he had beat, he would always be hiding, always have like the 5-man EMP catch everyone on his team. He would immediately pop in, get all 5 with the shields, and everyone would live on. And then Pelican played kind of a lot of picks here, but I think it was the blade on Genji on Paris attack that really helped. He got both supports, which was really solid play from him. So I think, yeah, this team is very clearly showing that why they're at the top. But what I should say is interesting is they seem to rely more on the 3-3 or at least a 3-2-1 than I've seen most other teams, specifically in NA, I guess, play. Like, Fusion is very clearly just like, cool, we can play DPS, we're going to play DPS. Where O2's like, no, we still kind of like goats, man. We're going to keep playing goats. We'll do somber goats. We're going to still play goats. And they very clearly play well. That was the reason they were able to take the, I believe they won the Pacific Showdown. They were able to win Contenders. Did they win Contenders? I need to see. No, they lost Contenders. But they won the Showdown, right?
And that's the important one.
No, they didn't. They lost the Showdown. I don't know what I'm thinking of. They are very clearly the better team now. Since the meta has changed, since things have evolved, I'm not very surprised that Mystic is behind O2 Blast in standings right now. Yep.
So, that's going to wrap it up. We only did 2 matches this week because, again, it was a short week. And we were just trying to figure things out. We're going to roll down right into our speculation station. So I'm going to start us off on the NA East Week 4. These are the matches that are happening tomorrow. We've got the Atlanta Academy versus the Gladiators Legion. I have this going to Atlanta. So does Kyle. Both of us got the 3-1 scoreline here. Next up, we've got Phase 2 versus the Uprising Academy. We're both giving this to Uprising Academy, which I'm a little sketched about. This could be the flip. Like, I could see Phase 2 winning this. I'm giving it to Uprising Academy 3-1. Kyle's giving it to Uprising 3-2. Then we've got Bermuda versus Grunto. Easy clap, Grunto here. Both of us, I got it going 4-0. Kyle's got it going 3-1 to Grunto. And then Sky Foxes versus Square 1. We both got this going Sky Foxes here. I'm thinking Square One's going to take them the full distance. I'm hoping they will. We can start to see somewhat of a turnaround for Square One here. So I'm going 3-2 while Kyle is going 3-1 for the Sky Foxes.
Then covering the West here, we've got Tea Party versus Envy coming up in week 5. That'll be in 5 days. 6 days.
Yep.
Tea Party versus Envy. I have this. Why did I say 3-0?
I questioned it, but I was like, hey, maybe he's predicting a tie. So
one map draw here. No, I'm going this 4-0. Thorn has it going 4-0. Envy. I want to see the perfect 35-0. Would it be maps or what? How many do they play?
4 times 7.
35. Right.
Yep. No.
No. 28.
28.
Okay. Math.
Too many sevens.
Hard. Yep. I think, yeah, I want to see the 28-0 from Envy here. We've got Wave Check versus Second Wind. We both have this Second Wind 3-1. Wave Check is just not looking so hot right now. Have they gotten many maps at all?
They've won one.
Maps and drew one. What am I saying? 3-0. I'm going to switch this to a 4-1 right now. Or 4-0, I mean. We're doing the on-the-fly swaps here. Tramp versus Revival, third match of the day. We guys are going to Tramp. Revival is pretty much, we've lost all hope for them. They are on the way out. I have this going 3-1. Thorn has it going 3-2, so we'll see how that goes. Then last match for NA West is Montreal Rebellion versus XL2. I have this going to XL2 2-1. I'm predicting a draw in there for some reason. I don't know. I'm feeling it.
Today was the draws.
Exactly. Thorn has it going 3-2 in favor of Montreal. So we have a bit of a flip here. This might be a match to watch if it's not a complete stomp.
Yeah. Just watching what Montreal was able to put together with their new DPS, I'm really digging what they're doing, man. I really am. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be kind of their first real test here, and I hope Montreal takes this one. So next up, we've got EU Week 5. So we're going to see Samsung Morning Stars versus the Angry Titans. Angry Titans look like they're kind of figuring things out a little bit. So me and Kyle are both giving this to the Titans. I'm going with the 4-0. Kyle's going 3-1. Then we've got Young and Beautiful versus Clockwork Vendetta. Man, my mouth just did not want to work right there. Both of us giving it to Clockwork Vendetta, the 3-2. Like, they're a scrappy bunch. I got a feeling Young and Beautiful are going to be able to pull two off of them. We've got HSL versus Gigante for the third matchup. Both of us got this going to Team Gigante. I'm giving it the 3-1. Kyle's giving it the 4-0. Last, we've got Shoes Money Crew versus the British Hurricane. Shoes Money Crew, they've only got that one win. I don't think they're going to get their second one off of the British Hurricane. Both of us giving it to the Hurricane 3-1.
And then for the next couple of matches, I think this is for week 3, day 2. This is the matches that are happening tomorrow morning for Korea. We've got Genji versus Element Mystic. Thorn has this going Genji 3-2. I've got this going to Element Mystic 3-1. It's kind of a big ask. Kind of a bit of an underdog situation here, but I'm believing in the heart of the cards here, and I think Element Mystic can pull this back. Runaway versus WGS is the second game we're going to be seeing tomorrow morning. Runaway is predicted the winner for both of us. Thorn has it going 3-1. I've got it going 4-0. And then for the first day next week, week 4, WGS H2 versus O2 Blast. We both have this going to O2 Blast 3-1. I'm going to call it the 4-0, actually. Just swapping right now.
I'm going to do the same
We're both swapping. We're both swapping. After really reviewing that last match, thinking about it. And what am I doing here? I just realized that GC Busan Wave beat Runaway here previously. And so this is WGS, or not WGS. This is Element Mystic versus GC Busan Wave. I'm still going to give this to Element Mystic again, but I'm going to give them the 3-2. I very clearly have an Element Mystic bias here. If you can't tell, I clearly have them winning against teams that are higher than them in the standings, but a boy can dream, you know? I can dream that Element Mystic bring it back. Keep with the hack and smash comp. Stuff like that, yeah.
Alright. I think that is a show.
Cool.
We are going to wrap it up. So Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle the Winner, winner with a WYNNER, and then on the Discord. My name is just Kyle Win on there as well. Come hang out in the High New Discord. It is the place to be.
Yes, we've got contests and tons of people who like to argue from Australia to Great Britain to North America, South America. Join and yell at each other. It's a blast. But you can find me on Twitter at ThornRain. I do all of my streaming right here on the Blackwatch Report Twitch channel. But as always, if you are an audio listener, swing by the Twitch, create a free profile, and hit that follow button. And if you happen to have Amazon Prime, that means you have a Twitch Prime, and we are Twitch affiliates, so you can hit the subscribe button and help out the show. But if you want to help completely free, swing by iTunes or any of your podcast listening apps of choice and leave a review. I'll get notified if it's in iTunes. If it's not, send us a screenshot. We've already had somebody do that. Thanks, Sugar Dad. And then we'll read it on the show. Well, we won't. Kyle will.
I will.
And, you know, it helps out. We enjoy reading your guys' messages. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. You can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you can follow the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our very own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com. And you can come and chat with all of the hosts over on that Discord that Kyle was talking about at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.